Good morning to everybody. It's a blessing to be here today. I hope you feel the same way. Just want to take a minute to thank our elders. You know, we know that 2020 has been a rocky year, and there's years like that. But as our shepherds have continued to lead us, even though they're leading over some very difficult terrain, leading us through some pretty tough valleys, they continue to lead. And I'm so grateful for that. And as Tracy mentioned, we are beginning to look for a part-time song leader, somebody who is similar to what Ethan did for us. We do have a young man, I say young because he's my age, young man coming in this Wednesday who's going to lead singing for us, someone who's interested in helping us out. So we do have that opportunity this Wednesday to be a part of that worship and listen to him and get to meet him and his family. I want you to just take a few minutes and realize what you have in Jesus. I think the events of this year have caused some of us to be filled with so much fear, so much anxiety, so much uncertainty, that we forget what we actually have in Jesus. We need connection with God. We desperately need connection with our Father. If you are connected to God, you have something that can't be taken away from you. No matter what may be going on in your individual life, no matter what may be going on in our nation, if you are in God, if you are in Christ, you have a connection that is unbreakable. It can't be taken away by a virus. It can't be taken away by a political election. It can't be taken away by any type of unrest or uncertainty. And we need to know that. I need to know that. Maybe these words are more for me than anybody else here in this room this morning. But as I go through life and I look at everything that happens that just seems to be beyond what I can control, I think it's good to be reminded that we serve a God who never faces anything that's too big for him. And we are in a relationship with God that can be an eternal relationship. And the importance of our connection with God, it can be illustrated many different ways. It can be illustrated through the life of people like David, where you look at a man who had that connection, who had that relationship with God that we all desire, that we all want. And we look at it from afar, we look at it from a distance, and it's appealing to us, isn't it? To know that we can go out and take on the Goliaths in our life with faith and trust, and to have that confidence that we're going to win, that we're going to be victorious. And David's confidence, when he went out onto that battlefield to represent Israel, more aptly to represent God, he did it because of a connection that he had, a connection that I want. It can also be illustrated through the lives of the apostles as we look at what they did throughout the book of Acts. There was national unrest. There were many different levels of adversity that they faced. But wow, they set the world on fire, didn't they? And I think it came out of that confidence that they had in Jesus, that they had something that couldn't be taken away. And they had a message that just had to be shared. I'm not a social media guy, but I do pay attention to the news. And I pay attention to the events that are going on in our community, in our neighborhood. And it seems like we want to talk about everything but Jesus. We want to talk about the virus. We want to talk about the COVID numbers. We want to talk about what level we are on as a community. We want to talk about masks and your opinions, beliefs about masks. We want to talk about the political election, Trump versus Biden. We talk about all these things and we just get more anxious. Sometimes we just get more down. Maybe we need to spend more time talking about Jesus. Maybe we need to spend more time focusing on Jesus, because we have something that cannot be taken away from us. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that no matter what happens in this world isn't our home. So let's not get too comfortable. The fact that we need a connection with God can be illustrated through those examples that I mentioned. People like David, individuals like the apostles. And you see what it looks like when people really have that connection. The importance of that connection can also be seen by looking at people who don't have it. And that's what we see in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus, he begins this certain parable with these words. A certain man had two sons. That simple beginning, it launches one of the greatest stories ever told. It's profound, it's powerful. It can be, without sounding cliche, life-changing. And what this story illustrates, it illustrates how important it is to be close to the Father. How important it is to have that connection. The connection that David had, the connection that the apostles had, the connection that we need. We see what it looks like through the life of one boy when he had it, when he lost it, and then when he had it again. It's on full display for us. How vital it is to be connected with God. Sometimes I pray for our church family that we're as connected with God as we are our cell phones. Think about it. You leave home, you leave this behind, what do? You go back. You may be miles away. Most of us, we go back. Why? Because if we don't have this in our pocket, if we don't have this right here in front of us, I'll admit it about myself, I feel lost. I feel naked. I feel like I just walked out of the house with no clothes on. That'd be bad. Guys, we could survive without this. I actually survived. I think we got our first cell phones in 1997, 98, somewhere along the way. My brother had one of those big car phone bags. We thought that was really cool. Go walking down the mall with your car phone bag. We weren't able to pick up any girls. Still didn't help us. Guys, we can survive without this. We can't make it without God. What if we were just as connected with God as we were this silly electronic device? Where we went off to work one morning, I forgot to spend time with God. I forgot to open my Bible and read. I forgot to pray. I have to stop right now. I've got to stop my events. I've got to stop everything that's going on, and I have to have this connection with God. Guys, what if we did that? What if we felt that way? That we were just lost. We were just naked because we didn't spend time with God that morning. If you're like me, this is first thing you look at in the morning. It's the last thing you look at before you go to bed. What if we just started doing that with God? The younger son, the prodigal, he's the main focus initially in this story. Midway through the story, the father, he takes center stage, followed lastly by the older brother. In the parable, it naturally divides itself into these three sections based on the main characters. And as Jesus develops the story, as he builds the narrative, with each shift in focus, the plot, it takes a surprising turn. The typical first-time hearer's train of thought and expectations, they're therefore jolted with each successive shift in the storyline. It just moves, bam, bam, bam. And as a listener, you just try to keep up. Your mind is just racing as you look at what's going on. There's just so much packed into this story. It would be like listening to Bohemian Rhapsody for the first time. We're going to play that now. Just kidding. Every story, it needs a proper villain. Every story needs a bad guy. It makes it better, makes it more intriguing. The younger son appears to be cast in the scoundrel's role. He seems to be the bad guy. Everybody can identify. You look at the prodigal, you look at what he requests, you look at what he does. He goes and he's wasting his life, he's wasting his inheritance. It's just a life of waste, of excess. In any person, as you read that story or you hear that story, you're able to say, all right, here's the bad guy. Here's the scoundrel. Here's the person we're rooting against. But in classic Scooby-Doo style, the elder brother is actually unmasked in the closing section as the real villain. The three-part form of this parable, it's deliberate, brilliant. It highlights in quick succession three important ideas that all center around the main hub: heaven's joy when a sinner repents. Now, I want you to think what's happening. We know that the angels rejoice when a sinner comes home. We looked at it last week as we examined the parable of the lost coin. And that lady, she sweeps her house, and she sweeps it diligently, determined to find that lost coin. And when she finds it, she rejoices. She invites the neighbors over. They rejoice. It's a picture of what happens in heaven when a sinner comes home. Or the very first story that Jesus told of the shepherd who went and looked for the lost sheep. And he leaves the 99 behind. He goes and searches for the one. And he finds that lost lamb. And he puts it over its shoulder. He carries it home. And he tells everybody, I have found the lamb that went astray, that wandered off. And they rejoice. Again, it illustrates heaven's joy, the joy of our Father, the joy of the angels. When a sinner comes home, isn't that a picture of connection? The rejoicing is happening because one more person is once again connected with God. Once again, they have that relationship that makes all of the difference. It doesn't mean that life isn't going to be difficult still. In some ways, it'll be more difficult because Satan, man, we're target number one now. What it means is that we have a connection that's unbreakable. We have a connection that's eternal. And no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, we have it. It's there. We can depend on it. You ever wonder why Paul had so much confidence? Ever wonder why Peter had so much confidence in Acts 2? Ever wonder why David had so much confidence when he walked out to the battlefield? Why Daniel had so much confidence that he continued to pray to God? He had something. All of them had something that they knew they could count on. I think 2020, big lesson I've learned, I can't depend on myself as much as I'd like to think. I'm not as strong as I'd like to be. I don't have as many answers as I'd like to have. I went up yesterday to a workshop. It was an elder workshop. There were also several ministers there. And the guy who was speaking, Ken Jones. Ken was the president out at Lubbock Christian for many years. He's been an elder in the church. Wise man. And the thing that he said over and over and over again about 2020, guys, I just don't have answers. I'm like, you're supposed to have answers. That's why I'm here. You're supposed to have answers. But the one thing that he kept repeating was this: we just need to trust God. Isn't that what David did when he walked out to face Goliath? Isn't that what Peter did in Acts 2 when he preached that sermon? Isn't that what Daniel did when he continued to kneel down and pray to God, despite the fact that he was going to be thrown in the lion's den? Isn't that what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? Even though they were threatened and even thrown into the fiery furnace, they trusted God. The prodigal is an object lesson of what happens when we leave that behind. What happens when we leave that connection? When we decide we've got the answers ourselves, the prodigal is a lesson in true repentance. He represents Saul, who became Paul. He represents denying Peter, who became a courageous preacher. He represents the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, who repented and were baptized. He represents Cornelius and Lydia and the jailer throughout the book of Acts. And he is hopefully representative of you and me, because we've all made the journey that the prodigal makes. We've all made these demands that we're about to look at. All of us know what it's like to just march off to the far country. God, here I go. I'm going to leave you behind. I'm in college now. I'm going to do what I want. I'm my own person. I'm paying my own bills. I'll do what I want. I've got a great job. Look at how high I'm up in my company. God, I just don't need you anymore. So let me just go over here to the far country, and I'm going to leave you behind. We have all done that. At some point in our life, we have all decided in our minds, I don't need God. The prodigal, at some point, he realized he was wrong. At some point, he realized, I need my father. And he went back home. Now, we've all done what the prodigal did. We've all marched ourselves off to the far country. At what point do we realize, I need the Father? If 2020 hasn't reminded you of that, I don't know what will. If the events of this year, and we still have some difficult events in front of us. Anytime I listen to the news, it scares me to death. Thinking about appointing a new Supreme Court justice, thinking about electing a new president. When I turn my attention to that, guys, I'm scared. But when I listen to God, when I'm reminded of what I have in Jesus, when I'm reminded that I can be at home with him, it changes everything. It gives me confidence. Because I can always count on God. And don't we take that away from this parable, from this story? That we can depend on God. No matter what. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, we can depend on God. As a dad, as parents, that's one of the things we did our best to try to instill in Jalen. Because we wanted her to go off to college to Tennessee. And it's difficult in some ways to have her that far away, but that's what we wanted. That's what we prayed for. But we knew when she was there that far away, that we couldn't be there at the snap of a finger. Although mom can still get there pretty fast. It's amazing. I think it took us 10 hours to get her there. And when Shannon went to see her, she was there like in 4. I'm like, how did you do that? But it's different. She can't depend on us the way she used to. And if the natural order of events happen, which I pray desperately they will, at some point she'll bury us. And we're gone. I want her to know that there's one person she can trust no matter what. And it's not me. Man, that's hard to admit. It's not Shannon. It's God. It's her father. That's the connection that she can have that can last forever. She can always count on her father. The father personifies the joy of heaven. Yeah, I read through this story. One of the things that just jumps out at me, it's kind of mind-blowing. It's definitely very humbling. We can do things that bring joy to our father. And when I thought about the son as he traveled home, when the son traveled home, you know, he just kept going over in his head what he was going to say, trying to come up with the perfect speech. I remember some of those moments. I remember a couple moments when I had a speeding ticket in my hand, and I'm just going over and over in my head. All right, what can I say to get out of this when I get home? Because when that highway patrol walked up to my window, I really wasn't that scared of him. I'm definitely respectful. But I was scared of my dad and the story that I was going to have to try to come up with. And so you just start rehearsing in your head. At some point you realize, wow, this isn't going to fly. Nothing that I come up with is going to be good enough to justify what I did. And that's where the prodigal was. He couldn't come up with anything. There was nothing that he could say that could justify what he had done. There was nothing he could say that could justify the fact that he demanded from his father his share of the inheritance. What a shameful request. There was nothing he could say that could justify how he had lived in the far country, the wild living. And most believe, and probably accurately, that he's wasting his money on prostitutes. He's wasting his money on parties. He was wasting his money on drinking. He's just living a wild life. There was nothing he could say that would justify that. And he knew that. And so he was just thinking, I have to say something when I get back to the Father. That's what's going through the mind of the sinner. That's what's going through the mind of the one who realizes, I need my Father. But all the while, as he was going back home, as he was making that long journey back from the far country that was supposed to be so great, isn't it always supposed to be great? As he was traveling back home, just trying to come up with something to say to his father, when the father sees him, the father is overcome with a joy that just can't be described. I was talking to Jerry earlier this week, and Jerry and Patty are concerned about their son, as any of us would be. One of the things I mentioned to him is when our children hurt, it's worse than when we hurt. All of us would put ourselves through the pain instead of our children having to go through it. Imagine the pain the father felt as his son left. We're talking about a different level of pain. We're talking about spiritual pain. Imagine the pain he felt as he watched his son walk away. At some point, the father stood and he watched his son disappear from his sight. At some point, it's like when you go to the airport and you're seeing somebody off. You remember when you used to be able to go behind the lines, even as a person dropping off your family or your guest, and they get on that plane and you're right there at the window and you can see their actual plane just take off and disappear from view. Now, if it's somebody you don't like, you're like, all right, yay, they're gone. But most of the time, it's somebody we probably like. We want to be around them. It's kind of a sense of, wow, there they go, they're out of sight. At some point, that father experienced that. The prodigal, he starts walking, and he walks, he reaches a distance where the father can no longer see him. Out of sight. But he was never out of mind. The father always had his son on his mind. And there was a day, there was a moment when the father saw his son walking back toward him. We have to try to put ourselves at the emotional level that the characters in this story were at. We have to try to see what it's like to be so desperate that we wanted to eat what we were feeding the pigs. We need to try to understand, try to imagine what it would be like to be that father, to watch his son leave, and to be gone for a period of time, wondering, is he ever going to come back? Now the father, he was ready. He was ready with a celebration. Everything that he had done for his son when he came back, he was prepared to do that from day one. But there had to be that thought in his mind. Is he ever going to come home? Is he ever going to come back? And maybe right now, our father's thinking the very same thing about us. Are they ever going to come home? Are they ever going to come back? You can make the choice to do that right now as we stand and sing together.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet, and we come to you and worship at your feet.
Thank you, Philip, for a great lesson on the prodigal son. Let's be seated together as we have our shepherd's prayer.
Morning. I want to thank you all for being here today. Those of you that are Zooming. A new normal. That's what we have. When I was in the hospital,